We've read it already. I want to introduce this by sharing this short little clip. I had the fortunate privilege of being raised in an area that saw epic thunderstorms. Not the piddly little things that we get in this valley, like happened this week, lasted for what, about 98 seconds? Came through, a couple of little flash bulbs, a little rumble, and then we were done, right? Not where I was raised. Let's see if we can make this go. Feel it? I could have turned it up louder so that you felt the concussion against your chest. Growing up, that's what it felt like. Thunder you felt. Lightning that blinded you. It was awe-inspiring and terrifying at the same time. Raw power. Wild. Uncontrollable. Thunderstorms cannot be managed. You cannot manage a thunderstorm. Lightning is unpredictable. You never know where it will strike next. But when it does strike, it leaves an indelible mark. Why am I talking to you about thunderstorms this morning? Well, I believe that David is in that place. David has first a memory of a thunderstorm he saw that he experienced. One does not forget an experience of being in an epic thunderstorm. You do not forget that. Storms that came off the Mediterranean Sea still do today, come inland on the mountain peaks all the way down to the desert lowlands. And they rumble, they thunder, they lightning. It is a memory. This psalm is a memory of David's encounter with a thunderstorm, but it is also a metaphor. It is also a very powerful metaphor. A metaphor is a figure of speech that directly equates two unrelated things to highlight shared characteristics. The Lord is not literally in the thunderstorm. When we read Psalm 29, recognize that God is not in the thunderstorm, nor is God's revelation located in natural phenomena. Rather, the point of the metaphor is that this is very unsettling. It pokes holes in theological boxes. It disturbs comfortable comparisons of God. It leaves us unsettled, uncomfortable, as it brings at the same time comfort. Is the arrival of God, the powerful voice of God that is nothing other than strength and majesty. I propose to you this morning that God's voice is the exact power that you need in your life. God's voice is the exact power you need, and in particular, in the storms of your life. Notice the repetition. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks cedars. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord makes the deer run for cover. The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord, that phrase, is used 650 times in Scripture. 650 times. Let me go on. When you read the word of the Lord, know that it's at least 8,000 times that that phrase is used. The Lord declares, particularly if you read Jeremiah, over and over, the Lord declares 213 times. The Lord says, or the Lord said, which you see repeated throughout Scripture, is mentioned 3,800 times. So in total, those four phrases are used 12,600 times. What does it declare? God has a voice. God has a voice. The biblical narrative begins and ends with God's voice. Genesis chapter 1, then God said, let there be. There wasn't and couldn't be without the Lord said. Recreation, the new heaven and the new earth, we find in Revelation 21. The Lord said. And all points in between, from the epic moment of creation to the epic moment of recreation, Hebrews tells us what? That the Lord is sustaining all of this by the power of His Word, His voice, is communicating still across the universe. He blesses. His voice blesses, which we're going to look at today. It's going to be really quite, I think, fantastic for us. Both in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 through 31, the Lord blessed, right? And said, be fruitful and multiply. And Revelation 21, a blessing of the Lord. You know, there are seven blessings in the book of Revelation. Look it up sometime. It's not accidental that there are seven, by the way. the whole book is epic imagery. But there are seven specific blessings given in the book of Revelation. And this last one, in Revelation 21, God is giving this blessing. God legislates. God declares how things will be. God declares the direction, the purpose that we live in our lives. Genesis chapter 2, God legislates. Revelation chapter 22, how we will live eternity. God's speech includes both the act of speaking and the content of what is spoken. As I've mentioned, we know for certain that God speaks. He communicates in and among Himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, regularly. And God listens. He focuses on what the others are saying always. So understand at this very beginning that the voice of the Lord is a constant, life-giving reality. From the very beginning of time to the very end of time and all points into the outside of time. The voice of the Lord. But understand that the voice of the Lord is powerful. I have a picture for you here. This is a nice, calm day on the Mediterranean. Not. It is a storm on the Mediterranean. David calls it what? The mighty waters. The mighty waters. You realize that the Mediterranean was terrifying to people in David's day because they could not control it. They could not manage it. They could not manipulate it. And worst maybe of all, they could not understand it. Read the book of Acts centuries later, where Paul is taking a journey from Jerusalem to Rome, and he gets caught in a powerful storm on the Mediterranean. What happens to the ship? Busted in a million pieces. God miraculously saves them all as they're holding on to pieces of broken timber. The voice of the Lord is on the mighty waters. So as David looks out on the Mediterranean, I don't know if you've ever stood on the coast and watched a storm as the waves are just bashing into the coast. I love that. It's terrifying and mesmerizing at the same time. You're standing there and you're just watching. You know you have no control over that water that's crashing onto the sand. You don't. It's powerful. And David said, God's voice is like that. God's voice is like that. Hear this about God's voice. It's crazy. It's uncontrollable. It's tumultuous. It's wild. It's untamed. I am looking at the voice of the Lord on the mighty waters. It's beyond one's grasp. It is unpredictable. And yet, It is peaceful and calm. The Mediterranean was notorious for swallowing boats and crews. Melody and I were watching an archaeological documentary on boats that they have found in the bottom of the Mediterranean from around the 1st and 2nd century. One of these boats that they found was actually pre-BC. It was during the early parts of the Roman Empire. Boats sank, folks, when they hit a big storm. God is powerful over the mighty waters. I'll give you a pause button for a second. There may be storms in your life that feel like mighty, raging waters. And you can't control all this stuff that's hitting you, a barrage of stuff that's coming at you. You wish you could. Man, there's days where you cry out, God, can't anything be easy? Does it always have to be like this? Does it always have to be hard? The voice of the Lord is over the mighty waters of your life. The voice of the Lord doesn't always calm the sea, but speaks in the midst of the sea. We have two very powerful pictures. He says, first of all, the voice of the Lord, it is powerful, it is majestic, it breaks cedars. Now, I'm giving you a picture of Mount Lebanon, which is in Syria. Mount Lebanon was notorious in that region, the Lebanese region, for cedar trees. And these cedar trees were the same kinds of trees that we looked at when Nehemiah rebuilt the city. And the gates, there's where the lumber came from, was the cedars of Lebanon. When David built his palace, the cedars came from Lebanon. When Solomon built the temple, the cedars came from Lebanon. You get the point? There was a lot of logging that went on in the cedars of Lebanon. And these trees were massive. These trees could grow 60, 80 feet tall. And their roots, I'm told, are three times deeper than the tree is taller. They're mighty. You ever see what happens when a lightning bolt hits a tree? How does the tree come out of that experience? Probably not well. I was in high school. There was a group of us practicing music. We had all of the sound system on in the church. It was just the seven of us high school students that were practicing. They had given us permission to use everything in the church. Thunderstorm came in, and a lightning bolt hit the tree, a cottonwood, giant cottonwood tree that was on the campus of the church. The church wasn't huge, but it was big enough where the tree was probably 40 feet removed from the sanctuary. And I'll tell you what, the power of that lightning bolt went through the sound system. It was terrifying. And we went outside, and there's pieces of cottonwood tree for 100 yards in every direction. And that tree exploded. There was nothing left of that tree. Smoldering little splinter, right? The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord, there is nothing more stately that God can't speak over. Then he says, how about let's consider the mountain of Lebanon. The mountain of Lebanon is amazing. It's 10,131 feet tall. Okay? Did you imagine that there were mountains 10,000 feet tall in Syria? It's amazing. Now the massif, you know what a massif is? The massif is all of this mountain clustered together. You're kind of getting a bird's eye view of it from a distance. But this thing is over 10 miles long. It says that God is over this mountain. There's nothing so powerful. This is an image of great power. God is over this. It says that he's over the mountain Syrian, which another name for that is Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is 9,232 feet. Its massif is, it's hard to regulate there, but it's about three peaks. The reason there's snow on it is because it snows. They have a ski resort on Mount Hermon. But God is over that. David is looking at the three most powerful things that he could imagine. the cedars of Lebanon, the mountain peak in that region, and the biggest mountain in Israel. And he says, the voice of the Lord is greater than these things. The voice of the Lord breaks those cedars. The voice of the Lord thunders. It does, like the thunderstorm that we saw. The voice of the Lord rattles the wilderness. The wilderness of Kadesh is the desert towards the south. All of this, God in his holy, majestic array, God is making his voice to be known. Cedars snap like toothpicks. Mountains run away when God speaks. It describes the instability of any strong thing in the presence of God. They cannot help but be moved. There may be some very strong things against you this morning. They might feel like mountains. They might feel as strong and impenetrable as a cedar in Lebanon. And God's voice declares, there's nothing too great for me. I want you to hear that. There is nothing too great for me. All the things that seem insurmountable to you are not too great for God. His voice is over that. His voice is above that. It describes the control, the sovereignty that God has not only over creation, but over every event in your life. Remember, this series that we're in is talking about how do we hear God's voice. Hearing God's voice is necessary for us because there's stuff out there that's louder, it seems, than God's voice. When the wind is howling, it seems louder than God's voice. When the thunder really rumbles, when those things are just powerful against you, it seems louder than God's voice. When the lightning bolts come, and it says that God flings fire, right? That's a picture of a lightning bolt. When I was a young man, goodness gracious, from a child even through Melody will tell you, up into my 30s before we moved here to Washington, when one of those majestic thunderstorms came, I went outside. Melody wasn't always thrilled because lightning doesn't leave a lot of kindness behind. You can be struck by lightning and survive. It doesn't usually happen, but you can. It does. It is reality. But it was a worship experience because I felt the thunderstorm. There is nothing like it, folks, when the thunder concusses against you. Our house would rattle. Literally, it would rattle. The windows, you felt like we're going to break. Lightning, you could smell it in the air, sizzle in the air. If you're too close, your hair stands on end. That means you're a lightning rod. You're ready to meet your maker. But there's something amazing about this. And it was a worship experience to declare to me, God, you're bigger than anything I'm going through. You're greater than any challenge I'm ever going to face. The voice of the Lord, David is declaring, is powerful over anything in this world. It's a great metaphor, isn't it? I think David did the same thing I do. He went outside of his palace and watched the thunderstorm. Let's talk about the impact of God's voice, shall we? David declares the certainty of two things. I want you to hear this. First, there are forces in life that threaten the regular order of living. There are forces in your life that are going to be outside of what you think life should be. We talked about last week the terrible phrase, and they lived happily ever after. That's a lie. And when we get locked into everything should be easy, everything should be comfortable, everything should be sweet, life reminds us that that is not true. But the second thing is that God is there. First, God's voice demonstrates that he is sovereign. When you look at the reality of God's voice, when you hear God's voice, you experience God's voice, you hear him speak, he is telling you, I got this. I am sovereign. Sovereign means that God reigns and rules as he chooses and declares to do. This is how he lives his existence. He is the sovereign over the universe. Things operate according to God's plan and God's purpose. So yes, there's going to be events in your life and you look up at God and you go, what is going on? He is saying, I'm sovereign over this. I'm in control of this. Your world may feel like it's spinning out of control, but mine is not. And my voice is declaring to you, it is demonstrating to you that I am sovereign. Any particular force that could threaten to knock you down, God is there. It's interesting that David adds this little bit in here. He says, verse 10, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. David is looking back to that event in Genesis chapter 6 where God destroyed the world by this mighty flood. And I think that in this moment, he was declaring to the people, this is a song, he was declaring to the people, listen, it may feel like the floodwaters of this world are just coming right over you, but God sits as king. God sits as king. He rules that. His authority is over that. And so he declares, he sits as king forever. It's not just the worst event of your life, but forever in all that you do. His authority is over everyone and everything, and it is a powerful reality that exists over every crazy event in your life. This is the God I want to follow. This is the God I want to follow, who is sovereign over all things. Second, God's voice imparts strength. Verse 11, the Lord will give strength to his people. True strength will never be something self-generated. You will never be able to make yourself strong enough to meet the challenges of the storm. This isn't pull yourself up by your bootstraps, puff out your chest. I remember being a youth pastor, and I would talk to students, young men in particular, about this epic spiritual battle we are in. And these young guys would puff up their chest, and they would say, Satan, bring them on. And I would imagine that as they grew older, they recognized that they got beat up a little bit. Because true strength isn't something that is not bravado. It's not something you can just pull out of some reserve somewhere. Real strength is beyond our determination to be strong. And therefore, we have a God of power, of majesty, of authority, who gives you the strength in every situation as you need it. The word give literally means to impart, to bestow a quality that I do not intrinsically possess. So when I feel weak, God is strong. Didn't he tell Paul that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? I've got this thing, it keeps dragging me down. I'm paraphrasing. He's complaining in a sense to God. He's praying out, I've got this thing that drags me down. It pulls me down, and I ask you to release it, and it won't get released, and it's still weighty. It's still, why can't things be simple, God? Why does it always have to be hard, God? And he said, because I'm strong. And that's all you need to know. My strength, he said, is perfected in your weakness. So Paul says, okay, let's have a party. I'm going to rejoice about being weak. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because that's what God does. He imparts the strength that you need. There's a beautiful reliance, and the voice of the Lord is telling us this. It is drawing us into, like we mentioned last week, this amazing communion with him. Come. The invitation is to come. I'm all the strength you need. There is nothing out there that will compare. This is a God I can rely on. Not only is this the God I want to follow, but this is the God I want to rely on because it is His strength that's going to get me through. Third, God's voice releases peace. The last part of verse 11. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Shalom. Well-being. Security. When used of God to human beings, it's always an act of benefit. Thus, it is an act of God which benefits His people in the course of their journey. So not only can you exhale in the midst of these crazy storms that David talks about, and you just have to grit your teeth and bear with them. No, what you get is this amazing sense of all is well. Julian of Norwich, a woman who followed God in the 1600s England, has this as her famous quote, "And all will be well, and all will be well, and every manner of thing will be well." She ministered to people who were dying of the Black Plague. She saw death every day. She saw suffering every day. I'm certain she cried out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord? How long?" Psalm chapter 2. But she said, "All will be well. All will be well. And every manner of thing will be well." It's a peace that God releases into your life. Someone has said, "It does not begin with our efforts, but with our openness to God's claim on us and the ways that God has gifted us." Peace involves a sense of release on our part. It's getting to the point where we say, "You're right, God, I can't manage this anymore. I can't manipulate this anymore. I can't control this anymore. And so I release it to you." There's something powerful in that moment of letting go where God releases His peace to you. As long as you're holding on like this, you don't get the peace. It's when you go, okay. God gives peace. This is a God I want to walk with. This is a God I want to follow. It's a God I can rely on. It's a God I want to walk with. His voice has a powerful effect in our lives. What storm are you currently facing? How can God's voice impact the circumstances of your life? How will you receive the strength that only God can offer? What do you need to release in order to experience God's peace? To you and you alone, O God above, we declare that you are a sovereign, majestic, powerful God of the universe. David declared in this picture of a thunderstorm how powerful your voice is, that when you speak into any situation of our life, that situation, that circumstance doesn't have a chance. You have our good in mind. You have our best at heart. And you long to give us your strength. You long to release your peace. As Paul declared, it's a peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that we can't fully grasp. Because not only is the peace that you release, it's the peace of who you are. You're the God of peace. You're the God of shalom in our lives. That's what your voice is intending to communicate to us. Teach us to listen. In Jesus we pray. Amen.